Marina Yenig is with me in front. She just walked in because she was passing. But no, that's a lie. But you weren't you for a while. But look, you're here now.
I'm here now.
And I'm delighted to see you.
Thank you.
Firstly, welcome to our little world.
Oh, this is lovely to be here, Marty.
It's nice and warm, isn't it?
It's lovely.
It's lovely and cosy.
And we were listening to COVID through you, and you were in every day. Fair play to you. Thank
in
you.
Every day. It was, some people say, well, it's safer here than at home. But it was just, but it was, it worked. You know what I mean? The way sometimes these things just work.
Yeah.
We were able to do it.
Yes.
And I remember we were meeting nobody because there was nobody to meet.
I know.
We would come in, do this in our little cocoon, into the car park, gone.
Yes.
And so nobody was, Brian was elsewhere and, yeah. And Shea Byrne and 2FM down there. So everybody did their own thing.
Yeah, but it kept us all going.
Oh, you're
at
very
home,
kind.
You.
You're very kind.
Thank you.
So, listen, but you've obviously been kept going because you've loads going on.
Yes.
You're up to your eyes and stuff.
Up to my eyes.
Talk to me about this, this event in Dunleary.
Yeah, we're playing tonight actually in the Sugar Club.
Yeah.
Here in Dublin.
Oh, the Sugar Club is tonight. Well, that's in the city centre.
That's in the city centre. And we're starting the network music tour.
Right.
Myself and these two gentlemen, Cormac the Barra on harp and Mark Redmond, a fantastic young piper who's on TV nearly every night, every time.
We had Mark Redmond in here with Sean Davey.
Yes,
we did.
Oh, he's an amazing musician.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
I saw him live at the concert hall.
Yes, he's just, like, both of them are just incredible musicians, so yeah. I'm having a ball and kind of, I knew Cormac for a long while, but I'm getting to know Mark now, and he's a fantastic young.
And he's only a young guy.
Oh, sure, God. Yeah. That's the way it's going, you know, all the
well,
young ones.
There is that. It's that danger. Don't mind them. But you know what fascinates me? Someone like Mark Redmond and the talent that he has, and you think back, and I would think back as well, to people like Limo O'Flynn.
Oh, sure.
Do you know, and you'd be kind of saying, oh, well, sure, look, there's no one ever.
I know.
You know, and in fairness, still, I would say that
Liam Fletcher, they all look up to him.
Yeah,
he's the hero.
He is the hero, and he'd be like the master.
He learned from Seamus Ennis, who was the master, who had so much knowledge. It's just more than tunes, it's the knowledge.
That's
right. The three-dimensional understanding and all of that.
Yeah, isn't it just?
It's all to do with that.
It's funny, I'm reading Paul Brady's book at the moment, and he's talking about these lads. Yeah, it's fab.
Oh, I'd love to have to read it.
Very interesting, yeah, very interesting. But he talks about people like Seamus Ennis and all these guys. And these are just icons, you know, and just phenomenal musicians.
Yeah.
But there's Mark, and this is a roundabout story, but going to see him at the concert hall, I was blown away by him.
Oh, sure.
Like, he's so good, and he's so easy about the way he plays.
It's just, he makes it all look so... It's like an old fiddle player at home, Danny Meehan, he says, all my heroes used to be older than I, but now they're all younger than I. So that's how I am now.
I know what you mean. Have you been doing sessions together, obviously, to put this together?
Yes, we had a few days during July there, and we came together yesterday morning as well, and we were rehearsing all day and all rehearsing today as well, and just having a wonderful time, and, you know, just getting to know each other as well, because it's not just the music, it's like a conversation, and the better the conversation, the better the music,
That's true.
And we have had a great time. So I'm really looking forward. It's so different for me to do something like this because I'm playing Altan and I do solo work and stuff like this. But this is, again, collaboration, and it's always nice to do something different.
Yeah, but doing it with people that you haven't worked with in this kind of way. How many dates are there going to be, by the way?
That's a good question. Can you count them there?
We take nine, I was told. I've been informed.
We're playing the Sugar Club tonight, and then tomorrow night we're playing in the Pavilion in Dunleary,
and then
Tanahili, and then we head down, I think, to Ballywirnia.
You do.
We go to London then, to the Hammersmith Irish Cultural Centre.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's really, really gorgeous. And
what night is that going to be?
That's Sunday night.
Good luck with that.
Yes.
Because London is jammers, as you know, at the moment.
Because
of all the preparation for Monday's funeral.
Yeah, well, they might come to our gig. We'll ease them into it.
Well, it's just that there's so many people in the city.
I know.
So that's going to be the thing as well.
But and then we head down to, where do we go then?
I'll tell you. Tell me where I'm going then,
please.
You go to Clifton and Belmullet and Newbridge and then ending up in Cork.
That's right.
That's a lovely tour.
It is a lovely tour.
When's the last time you were on stage with With Altan.
Well, I was on stage last Sunday in Ardmore Island with Altan doing a TV programme called Ireland in Song with Donal Scannell. And so it was really beautiful. And all the birds were singing and the sea was coming in and out. It was really lovely.
That's lovely.
Yeah, so, and then Altan are off on tour. Of course, we're going to America for 5 weeks after that.
Are you looking forward to that?
In a way, I'm not, because I got used to being at home and I really
Didn't we all just get that quite content in ourselves?
Very content. I just loved playing the fiddle to myself, to be honest with you. I think travel is for really younger people.
But
I have been there 100 times.
Stop it. You're as young as you feel.
That's true.
Because, like, you could say that till you're blue in the face, but sometimes you have to say, do you know what? Isn't it great that people still want to come and see you play?
Well, that's relevant.
That appeal. Well, that you're relevant.
Yes.
Because irrelevance is an awful thing. The idea that you're suddenly not, that people would go, oh yeah, who's that again? That'd be awful.
It would. Well, you know, we all maybe have an ego, but my thing at the moment is to pass it on. You know, give it to the younger people.
Yeah.
I teach a lot of younger people at home and give them songs. My own daughter is starting she's playing the fiddle, singing and all of that. And that's really important to me because in traditional music, the passing on is
the main thing.
Not alone the tunes, but, you know, the respect for the older musician, where the tune came from, where the song came from, you know, that it has a lineage. And that we have to respect that, you know.
Yeah, but that also that you having such knowledge, apart from your evident ability, but you have the knowledge, so you bring that with you, and it's like a living word that you're passing on.
And
it's like I go back to Paul Brady again, talking about Seamus Ennis or whatever, so that there's this linkage that you pass on immediately. So it's always remembered. It's recent past.
And it's also, you know, people say, you know, the music is old, but the music is now, because the way I would play it, my daughter would play it completely different you let them make it their own.
Isn't that vital to let them make it their own?
Oh, so it would die. In other words, if you put it into a kind of a glass cage and not, oh, you have to play every note as I'm playing, that would kill the music completely.
I'm always a great believer in that. Mm. You know, let people do it their way.
Yes.
Their own thing. Is it all right if I play Tommy Potts' Slip Jig? Would that be all right?
I know that, yeah.
I won't tell you about Slip Jig. It'll also give you a chance to take your instrument out. I see you brought it with you.
I have it here. It's always my accessory.
You're a very kind girl.
It's stuck to me.
I'm Rainy Vennig is with me, but she's not going to be on her own when it comes to this tour that she's embarking on with Comac de Barra and Mark Redmond. But you're on your own this morning.
I'm on my own this
morning. You're the one. Yes. When did you come down from Donegal, by the way?
I got up at 5:30 yesterday morning.
You did not?
I had been in rehearsal at 11. So I think at 9:00 I stopped and I had a coffee and I told the lads, I have to stop for a coffee.
Yeah, I'd say.
I'd see you at 11.
But, and how is lovely Donegal? I haven't been
Donegal is actually beautiful. It is
the most.
It's really lovely. You know, we don't get enough coverage as regards visitors going there, but then again, we have all the beaches to ourselves then.
Yeah, but I noticed that when I was there, we were in Harvey's Point.
Isn't it beautiful?
But it's a while because of the COVID thing. And we went out one day, the sun was beaming. And I'm telling you now, because in Donegal, you've got these little kind of driveway, little inlet things, where you just drive in, there's nobody on the beach. And it's beautiful.
It astonishes me. Yeah, we had the Camino walk there last week for Cancer West. And there was loads of people went out. I went out to Gold Island to do it with them. I went for about a mile and then I sat and had a coffee and we were chatting and sang a few songs. And I think they collected about £40,000 for Cancer West. Noel Cunningham.
But he's the great, he's an ambassador.
Lovely man.
Unreal.
Lovely. And
he
just works so hard, you know.
Yeah, he does. And he's never shy about promoting the place.
Oh, well, I'm the same. I have to boast about it too.
But I think you're right. But you listen, we had Maya Devrain on in some time ago.
My neighbour.
The same thing again.
I love her.
Out it comes. You know, can't be helped. Talk to me about My Love is Living in Donegal Town. This
is... this is a tune that Mark Redmond got in an old manuscript, and he said, "Marie, did you ever hear this tune?" And I never had heard it, and so we put it together for it, and it's really lovely. You know, it's a gorgeous, it's nice semi classical tune. Like I'd say, it would have been a harp player that composed it,
right?
But he found it in an old manuscript.
Isn't that class? Yeah. Let's have a listen.
Yes.
Will you be playing this on the night?
Oh yes.
Well, will you? What?
Oh,
you?
Definitely. Yeah,
after all the trouble he went to.
Yeah.
That's music. It's called "My Love Is Living in Donegal." Marie, that's you, and it's Mr. Redmond, and it's Cormac DeBarra as well. That's a gorgeous piece, and we'll be people able to hear that tonight. They will.
Good. Oh, they have to come along here.
Will you play something?
I will play a few Donegal tunes. I don't know what I'm going to play, but I'll see what comes out.
Absolutely. And a single round of a clap, as Brendan Grace used to call it.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. That's beautiful. Does that titles in there? Or?
Yes. The first tune is a Highland, which would have been associated with Scotland, but we do Highlands in Donegal.
Yeah.
And then the second tune is called Loch Isle Castle.
Loch Isle Castle.
But it's
Scottish as well.
No, well, they don't play that version in Scotland, so that one is Donegal.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's just lovely. If only you could master the instrument,
Marie. But this is the thing. You see, I'm still struggling. I'm still learning.
The speed of your fingers, buddy.
I'm not at all.
Golly,
that's because of the coffee.
Well, it's because of talent, but it's lovely to just be that close to you to see you play.
Thank you.
It's quite an honour. So thank you for that. That's just
my
gorgeous.
My pleasure.
That's just lovely. We were talking about the American thing, and they've tried to fight it after you've done the tour here with Music Network. 9 dates, just in case.
Yes, thank you very much for telling me. Are you our tour manager?
You can't forget Newbridge. You might get a bit of silverware when you pop down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but when you go off to the States, I know we talk about travel and the difference compared to the past, but do you enjoy I suppose, whatever about the travel, which is a wear-out, the stage is the thing. It must be, for you, the joy is being on that stage.
Not the only thing I remember is the food I had beforehand. I know all the restaurants, but I can't remember the stage. I know it's very basic, isn't it?
Yeah, but still.
No, it's really weird. I have this particular kind of memory for where we ate, especially if it's a good restaurant.
Yes.
So I always remember, good food. We usually eat very well because you're on the road, so, you know, we eat healthily. And I always remember where the best restaurants are. I should write a restaurant guide, really.
Are you a foodie then? You are a foodie.
Oh, I love good food.
Oh, really? Yes. Right.
Did you not know the look of me?
I should have a pick on you. But the interesting thing is that you talk about some of the, you know, people going on tour, and they're on the tour bus and all this, and there's catering.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't necessarily be the John
best.
West
as well. No, would not.
But so you would you, because you're a foodie, would you source this in advance?
Oh, we do.
We're going to Boston, so where's good?
Yes, there's a place in Chicago that it's a Mexican restaurant. I can't remember the name of it now, but you have to actually book it 6 months in advance.
Right.
Now, and we have done that.
Yeah.
Now we have
done
that.
And you're playing in Chicago?
We are, but we won't have time to go out to that restaurant.
Did you not book it?
No. But, well, we just... we're going straight away the following day. It'll be straight to the gig and stuff. But I remember that one. And there's so many little diners on the road off the, you know, in the Mass Turnpike that great coffee in that place, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's totally natural.
It's all these kind of, it's a very basic thing, you know.
What is?
You know, food.
Air
and water.
Yes, there is that. But you mentioned about the whole idea of food. Have you ever done any cookery type TV or anything like that?
No. Oh, Jeannie Mac. No, talk to my daughter. She'll tell you.
Really? But are people aware of this interest?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of friends who are very good chefs and stuff like that. Like Brian O'Donnell from Danny Minnie's restaurant in Donegal. He's a good friend of mine. He plays Irish music as well.
Yes.
But, you know, I would often go to that restaurant.
Yes.
There are very fine restaurants around Donegal that I frequent.
I meant to ask this of other people before. Is Donegal couch actually cotton Donegal?
I don't think so. I think it's cotton Taiwan.
we're only shooting the breeze.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I know that the thing about the fishing. Well, I start this now with the fishing industry. Like,
yes.
I mean, our fishermen aren't allowed to fish in our own waters. It's crazy.
Yes.
And I was over, like, Bunbeg Harbour used to be thriving when I was growing up, and we'd go down and all the fishermen would come in with all their catch, and now there's hardly any fishermen there.
Isn't that sad?
It's very sad. And it was a thriving wee harbour for years and
years. Which is also, to speak to that, a community.
A community as involved, and the same with the islanders all around Tory and Arnmore, and they all have to go to Shetland now or to Norway to make a living, you know. It's crazy.
It doesn't
make any sense with all that vastness of sea outside.
I'd say you'll get a call from television now to do a cookery show.
Oh, do you think so? Well, I know, God help. As long as people don't have to taste it, that's fine.
It would be brilliant. You could do the... Because you do cook. You are...
I cook at home for my daughter.
So you're the cook, and you do that, and then at the end, everybody sits around while you play a tune on the fiddle.
That's not fair at all. I want to eat too.
I know, you can eat as well. But it's television. They can edit it.
Yeah.
Will you stay with me for a little while? Don't move an inch. I have you there when I'm letting you go. There's the gas thing. Mairead said she knew Arsenate. And I went, will you stop? You, how are you?
Good. How are you, Marty?
You've come down from the traffic department.
I've migrated.
You have. You've lowered yourself to our level. Listen, first, you and Mairead know each other. Your pals.
We know each other. How do we know each other?
I knew Russians, my cousin.
Yes.
Bjorn Egan, their pod thing.
Podcast, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So Anya is a good friend of mine, and she's related to Mairead. And we've worked together before on a few shows on TG Cahir. There's a good story here now, wait till you hear this.
Tell me this now.
We were recording a TV show there not so long ago. It'll go out on TG Cahir, I think, in maybe 2 months' time or so.
Yeah.
We were over in RTE in the TV studios, and Mairead was under a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, I had to fly home. You see, I was flying up to Donegal.
Make the dinner.
So, to make the dinner, I had, you know, I said, no, get ready. So I jumped into the taxi straight, and Sinead said, you better go because you're under pressure. You have to get your flight. I was flying to Donegal.
Right.
So next thing, I'm in the taxi, and I still had the microphone.
So we're in the studio in Dublin going, Mairead's gone, she has the microphone on her, ringing, trying to figure out where she was. And I think in the end we had to get the taxi driver to return to RTE.
Because I was too late. It was so funny. So I took off and I said, would you please bring this back to RTE? they needed for the next.
We don't have many microphones.
That's for sure.
That's right, for the cutbacks. Off microphone, Mairead Vernick with me from Alton, and her Sinead, by the way. That you did a great documentary on Peg.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. So I'm from the West Kerry Gaeltacht, have grown up listening to stories about Peg Sayers, and I worked in the Blascott Centre, the interpretive centre.
Oh, it's beautiful. Right.
It's all done up. So gorgeous.
When I was growing up, Peg was the bane of my life. Yeah. In school, I was going, this one.
A lot of other people would have had that attitude as well. Right. Now, hopefully, the documentary.
That attitude, she looks at me.
We have to change you. We have to get you out of that.
It's a long
place.
Time ago now, Mairead and friends.
A lot of the people that I spoke to had that attitude as well, and they would associate her with school days, they would associate her with darkness. Mm. And there was a lot of darkness in the book, and there was a lot of darkness in her life, but there was a lot of light in her life as well. And I got to speak to people who knew a lot about her, who knew the attributes that she had. She was so talented as a storyteller. She had collected,
she
had like over 320 stories or so collected from different people, her father and others. There's a good exhibition on in the city centre at the moment in the Museum of Literature Ireland in Dublin. Yeah, based on Peg Sayers.
I love the way you're all selling each other. It's fantastic. Well done.
You should check out that Peg Sayers. She brings another aspect of Peg, that she had a sense of humour, that she was a woman not of her time. She went against the grain a bit.
She certainly did. Yeah. And we spoke to a contributor, Maura Dawley from Dunquin, and she said she was the Netflix of their generation. Mm-hmm. And it was a great quote, because it was true. Yeah. Everyone would gather in her house to hear the stories. That was the entertainment that they had at night time. That was what the local people would do.
We've entertainment now in the morning. Look at this.
We were listening to you every morning.
Oh, you're very kind. But she came in early and we just let her sit down. And so we're just kind of shooting the breeze there as we go. You didn't bring a bow wrong with your
prepared. No, where are my spoons? I left your them spoon, outside. Head back.
Have you more traffic to do or are you done?
I'm done. Finito for the day.
No more traffic happening.
Heading out into the traffic now.
The minute she finishes, the traffic dissipates completely.
There's no traffic in Dublin after that.
When finishes, it's gone.
See a cloud of smoke.
it's like we don't care after a certain time. And that's not the case. It's just that it's not as busy, obviously. Are you going to play us another tune?
I will.
Will you stay for this?
I certainly will. Yeah, I was just saying,
talk about up close and personal. This is like Unplugged on MTV. You're literally right beside her.
Yeah,
so
real intimate gig.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, Sinead's hurt me in every situation.
Not every situation. Anyway, what are you going to play for?
I play you Paddy's Trip to Scotland.
Right. So
it's a real.
Oh yeah.
Fueled by coffee.
I can see the fingers.
You keep blaming the coffee. Listen, Mairead, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It was an absolute joy. Sinead, that was a treat.
Yeah, wasn't it? Just an intimate
treat. Yeah, it was fantastic. It really was. It was lovely.